Let's say this here, everybody. And I'm privileged and honored to be here. And the Lloyds are here this morning, and the lads from Teak Lane. And I just want to honour you, Craig, as well. Craig has been appointed as an elder in the church. And we just want to honour you, Craig, as an elder, as a man of God. And during the worship there, I just had this picture of new wine being opened up and you poured it out. And I just want to say that just over this season. And you've poured out many times into my life through the years. We just honour you as a brother, as a man of God. And we bless you, Craig, in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, it's rare that I preach, to be honest. And we didn't have that one today. But I really believe the Lord has given me something to share with us. And so we'll share the scriptures, the word of God. And the Bible says that God's word, it goes forth and accomplishes that for which he has sent it. You know? And so we're not dependent on man, we're dependent on God, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says, where two or more are gathered, there he is. So he's here. How is he here? By his Spirit. Do you know, at one point, Jesus was explaining to Nicodemus, it's in John, I think, 3 in the Bible, and he was talking about being born again of the Spirit. And he says, unless you're born again, you can't enter the kingdom of God. You can't see the things of God. Because you're spiritually discerned. You can't discern the things of God unless you have the Spirit of God living in you. So in any way, he gives this analogy. And he says, you can see the effects of the wind. You can see the trees blown. You can see your hair blown in the air, wherever, but you can't see where the wind is coming from. And he says, it's the same thing, where you can see the effects of the Spirit. So what I'm going to be talking today about is the Holy Spirit. But I'm going to be talking about him from Luke 24. Before Jesus ascended into heaven, he gave the disciples a commandment not to leave Jerusalem until they had waited and received power from on high. But I'm going to be also looking at it from Peter's life, Peter the Apostle, from before he received the Holy Spirit to after. So Father, we just want to thank you for who you are, Lord. We thank you for each other, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that this is the day that you have made, O God, and that we will rejoice and be glad in it, O God. And Jesus, I just pray for every heart in this place, Lord. I pray, Lord, Father, if people don't know you, that they come to know you this day, Lord. That you love them, that you care about them. Lord, I pray for those, Lord, who need a touch from you, Lord. I pray for those, Lord, that would receive your Holy Spirit, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll just give you a little bit short before I start, just a little bit of my story. I'm 53 years of age. I lived in Shamrock Dermot Street in the city centre. I was born in James's Hospital. We lived in the old tenement houses in Shamrock Dermot Street, in the north side of Dublin. And we lived there for a number of years. We moved from there out to Cundalkin, Neilstown, which was like, there was a lot of farmland at the time. There was no Liffey Valley, there was no shops, there was no buildings as much as it would have been now. There was big housing estates, but there was a lot of farmland. Just very barren in a lot of ways as well. But I grew up in Cundalkin as a young kid. There was addiction in the home. There was brokenness, there was darkness, all of that. And so from a young age, there was a lot of brokenness. I ended up, as gone down the road of addiction, ended up in prison, ended up very broken, lost as a young man, no direction, no guidance, just empty inside. Lost. And tried everything under the sun to change my life. And I mean everything. Detoxes, moving to Cork, moving to Newbridge, doing this, that and the other. All in my own strength. And no matter what I'd done, I couldn't change. But I met Jesus nearly 30 years ago now in a treatment centre. And I can say by the grace of God and by the power of God, I'm 30 years free from drink, drugs, cigarettes. And the Lord, he not only does he do that, but all the damage that's in your life. The Bible says, he who began the work will bring it to completion. It was like an onion. You hear that saying sometimes, the layers of an onion. It was like healing, one healing after another, after another, after another, after another. And he's a loving God and a faithful God. He takes you by the hand and he walks you through every situation. No matter where you were, no matter what you've done, no matter how dark it was, he loves you. And God wants you to know that this morning. He loves you. So anyway, back to the message. So as I said, 40 years ago, I knew nothing about the Bible, never read the Bible in my life. But I got this little prayer card off a guy. And in the prayer card it has, Jesus is the way, Jesus is the truth, and Jesus is the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through him. Now, as I said, I didn't know anything about theology or doctrine of the church or this or that or the other. All I knew was that I prayed to Jesus. And I felt a love, I felt a peace, I felt something that I never felt in my life, and I fell in love with Jesus. And it was a whole new life. It was brand new. And as I said, I grew up in Cundalkin. I heard he used to be saying, I heard a lot of the lads were saying, he's gone mad down there. He's praying and all. But when you think about it, you could go into the church and pray, and he'd call you mad. You could be out doing all the maddest things under the sun, and they'd be tapping you on the back. The Bible says it's better a wound from a friend than a kiss from your enemy. But anyway, the Holy Spirit, in the Christian theology, the Holy Spirit is understood as the third person of the Trinity. He's co-equal, co-eternal with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So God the Holy Spirit is a person. He can be grieved. The Holy Spirit is given to you when you give your life to Jesus. The Bible says you become a temple of the Holy Spirit, that he comes and lives in you. Now you have a new spirit, and it's called the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says he's the spirit of truth. He will lead you into all truth. He's the counselor. He will lovingly guide you. There's a scripture in Psalm 32 verse 8. He says, I will teach you and counsel you with my loving eye upon you. And that's God's heart. That's why he gives us the Holy Spirit. In Luke 24, this is before Jesus ascended into heaven. He says, I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power. And there's another word on that, it says endured. That means to be clothed. It means to get, clothe yourself with power from on high. Power that you couldn't. Not in your own ability, not in your own strength. You don't have to struggle. But it's an anointing that comes upon you by the power of the Holy Spirit. and it comes upon each one of us. In Acts 1, and this is Jesus, says, on one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift. And that's important to hear, that it's a gift that God has given. Wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, that was John the Baptist. But in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And to be baptized in something is to be put under the water. That's called water baptism. But there's another baptism, and it's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 1, it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. So the Holy Spirit enables you, empowers you to do what you cannot do in your own strength. He gives you the ability to carry out the ordained plan that God has for your life. You don't have to conjure anything up. You don't have to try to be anything. But he works through you. Now you're a vessel. Now you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says you can hear the voice of God. You can know the things of God because you have the Spirit of God living in you. But the empowerment of the Holy Spirit gives you a boldness, gives you a confidence, not in yourself, but in God, that he's the one working in you and through you for his glory and for his purpose. And it doesn't matter if you're going talking to one person or a million people. I remember one time I was coming home with Niamh and the kids. We were at the meeting in church in Ardee Street. And I was at the hearing about this guy. He was in Harold's Cross Hospice. He had cancer. He was only 44. He played football. He was a great footballer. He was a goalkeeper. He's from Kildare and Tishumpley. And the guy in the church said, did you hear about such and such? He's in Harold's Cross. And I said, no, I didn't. So he told me he'd only a few days to live. And myself and even the kids were driving home, and a burden came on my heart. And what that means is just got a tugging on my heart. Just wouldn't leave me. He says, you need to go to that hospital and visit this guy. So anyway, I got home and I said to Niamh, I need to go down to that hospital. I don't know if Niamh said it or not. She says you have to be family or whatever to go in there. But I rang them, and the nurse on call said, only family is allowed in. So I was like, still didn't need me. I said, Niamh, I have to go to the hospital. I went down to the hospital, got to the front door, and there was this girl, I hadn't seen her in about 25 years. Her name is Catherine. So the minute I got to the front door, she walks out. Jason Rafferty. I couldn't even notice the girl. She says, Jason Rafferty. She says, yeah. I says, I'm down here. I said, I want to see his name. I don't want to be saying his name. His name was William. I says, I want to see William. She says, come on in. He's inside, sitting inside with such and such. I walks into the room. I'm not joking with you. I says, listen. I says, you must, I don't know what you think. I says, but God is ever telling me to come down here to you. He says, you're not going to believe it, he said. He says, someone's ever given me a Bible half an hour ago, and I want to know what this Bible means. Well, glory to God. Myself, William, his partner, Kathleen, and our brother all give their life to Jesus. He wasn't on my radar, but he was on God's radar. The Holy Spirit living in me. Jason, there's someone down in the hospital right now. And the Lord saved him. And I remember going back to the house, and Niamh was at the front door. And I was coming through the door, and I said to her, he gave his life to Jesus. And this is as true as God. Niamh said to me, she started crying. And she said she had a vision of a man being took out of fire by a fireman. And he was at the escaping from the fire. The Lord was at the saving. And this is how important this is. It's your soul. The Bible says, what good is a man? He gained the whole world, but loses his soul. Because these bodies, these temples, these are going to fall down one day. Whether you're 10 or 100. But it's where you're going is important. So the Holy Spirit, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven. I love that. A wind from heaven came into the place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And as I said to you already, I was a while in the church. And all of these things that the Bible says started to happen to me. I just knew that everything was real. And everything I was reading in the Bible was starting to manifest in my life. It didn't all happen like this. But I knew what I was going after, and I said, Roy, this is it. I let everything else go, and I said, I'm going after the Lord. And everything that the Lord started pouring out on my life. So I got the gift of, as it says in Acts, like tongues of fire. And he said that they separated and came and rested on all. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. All of them. As the Spirit, and they were speaking in tongues. I'm going to look at Peter's life briefly. Probably most of us know the story of Peter. He was a fisherman. He was an ordinary man. And the story always goes, oh, Pete, you know, he got out of the boat, he walked on water, and he fell down into the water. He denied Jesus 3 times. So he was an ordinary man, just like a woman, you know, just, he was human. But when Peter received the Holy Spirit, it was nearly like a catapult. Where he was just let loose. But it says, after receiving the Holy Spirit, Peter was transformed from a fearful, inconsistent individual into a bold and powerful preacher of the gospel. Leading the early church, performing miracles, he became a central figure in spreading Christianity throughout Israel, Asia Minor, and eventually Rome. Peter was an ordinary man, as I said. And he had no high education. However, he had the Holy Spirit. And he was transformed. So when Peter got baptized with the Holy Spirit, he says he went out and he preached. And he says, and 3,000 people were saved. And I never realised, I was only saying this to Greg before the meeting, I never really studied Peter's life, to be honest. But he went on an amazing journey with the Lord. And I'm going to go through a little bit of that, of how here's this man, and that's the fear of man that gripped him. And the Bible says that the fear of man is a snare. It binds us up. We're afraid to be ourselves. We're bound by it. But Peter, full of the Holy Spirit, there was no fear. He was just like, I'm going after wherever the Lord has for my life. I'm not going to let the fear of man rob me. So Peter, as I said, in Acts 2:41, he says, those who accepted his message were baptized was about 3,000. Peter went out boldly and spoke. And then again in Acts 3, Peter, we're going to read a bit of the story. Peter goes up to the temple where the man is crippled. So here he is in one sense. Fear of man hasn't bound. He's denying Jesus. And now he's preaching. 3,000 people are saved. And there's a boldness about him. So one day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer. At 3 p.m. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful. He was put there every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money, and Peter looked straight at him, as did John. And Peter said to him, look at us. So the man gave him his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Taking him by the hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he was with them. Then he went into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. I just think that's amazing, you know? So here's Peter, fearful. All of a sudden he's preaching. All of a sudden he's going up to the temple. All of a sudden he's seen beggars on the ground who can't walk, crippled for years. And there's a boldness about him. And he's seen the power of God being manifested before his eyes. There's another one as well. It says where Peter was in prison. It says, and then the high priest and all his associates, who were members of the party of the Sadducees, were filled with jealousy. And they arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail. Here's Peter again. Now, angels are coming to open prison doors for him. And I was really amazed by this. And he brought them out. And you know what the angel said to him? He didn't say, leg it. Do you know what I mean? Or go hide somewhere. He says, go tell the people about this new life. Go out into the public square again and tell them about the new life. Now, guys, I'm challenging myself today. People need to know about the new life. People are walking around in darkness. People are lost. People are separated from God. And it's not condemnation, because the Holy Spirit has to lead us. It's not a yoke. Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But if the Holy Spirit is prompting you, please, and I'm saying this to myself, Lord, help us all. Be obedient to him. Do you know? Well, here we are again in Acts 5. Many are healed. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. As a result, people, I just thought this was amazing. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds, and Matt so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by impure spirits, and all of them were healed. And I've seen through the years, I was physically healed. I know Brian and Jackie have noticed. I was at a conference years ago, Stephen Mons, and there was a guy, Ian Hastings, and he was up the front. I was at the twist of my knee. And I was like, look at the back, I could be at the end of the room there. And no one knew, none of these guys knew. But he said, someone's right knee is being healed right now. And I'm telling you now, my knee was totally brand new, a new knee, totally brand new. And since that, I used to go out with Greg at times on the treasure hunt. We used to do go out onto the streets. And to the glory of God, I can say I've seen the Lord do miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. And sometimes, if I'm honest, it can be like a seesaw, my faith. Sometimes it's on the ground, sometimes it's up here. But the Bible says faith is small as a mustard seed and moves the mountain. I remember I was up Mead Street one time, and it was outside the Liberty Markets, it's called. So there was this lady, she had her little stall outside, and I didn't even know exactly what was wrong with her. I was sharing the Lord with her. And I prayed for her. So that was fine. I ended up praying for her. She gave her life to Jesus, so forth and so on. And I just went on about my day and whatever. So 2 weeks later, probably even after that, and it woke me up in a sense. Not out of a place of guilt or... But anyway, after 2 weeks, I went back to town and up to Mead Street. And she said, "My mother been waiting for you the last 2 weeks." That's what she said to me. "My mother been waiting for you the last 2 weeks." I went to the hospital and she said, "I'm totally healed." The doctor said, "I'm totally healed." Now, she says, my friend, she has cancer. She was waiting down here for me last week. Screw us, God. Now, I'll tell you, in one way, it was nearly like an alarm bell went off in me. Because I actually thought, there's people out there actually waiting. You know, that's quite the way I was sort of like, it was nearly like I was thinking, there's people out there waiting to be prayed for. And I'm being honest with you. I'm not saying it's rare I do it now, boys. I'm being honest, I haven't been on the streets in a long time. But it really sort of gave me a thing of like, there's so many people out there that need to hear the gospel. And I believe the tools that the Lord has given us, the gifts of the Holy Spirit for all of us, and we all have different gifts. Some people might be the gift of helps, some people might be the gift of generosity, hospitality. Doesn't have to be all. Some preach, some have the gifts of healing, some have the gift of the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues. There's all different gifts. But you know what? God gives each one of us gifts, and they're all important because it's all about what he does. And I realised as well, it's not about having a big prayer or whatever. Sometimes you could tip, God gets to tip someone on the shoulder and they'll be healed. But I'm telling you now, I've seen it. Again, Peter, on his travels, as Peter travelled about the country, he went to visit the Lord's people who lived in Lydia, I think. There he found a man, Aeneas, I think, who was paralysed and had been bedridden for 8 years.
thinking that, you know, bedridden for 8 years. Ananias Peter said to him, Jesus Christ, I love that. Jesus Christ heals you. Get up, roll up your mat immediately. And Ananias got up. All those who lived in the sea and saw him turned to the Lord. And I think that's a great example. So when you see a healing, it's not to get all lost in yourself or to get lost in what God has done, but that people were torn to Christ. There was always a turning. People were running to the Lord. I'm just there. In Acts 9. So here's Peter. You think about it, guys. He's at the mean denying the Lord, running in fear. Then all of a sudden, here he is preaching. People are running to the Lord. People that are beggars that are laying for years, not just for a year or something, for 20 years or something, healed. People that are bedridden. And now he's just like, by the power of the Holy Spirit, moving. So in Acts 9, I'm going to just, this is the last, and then we'll have a time of prayer, guys. You'll have an opportunity if you want to give your life to the Lord, if you haven't done already. Also, we'll pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon you, and we'll pray for the sick. And it's up to the Lord then. We're stepping out according to the word of God. So in Joppa, there was a disciple named Tobias. I find that some of these words difficult to pronounce. In Greek, Dorcas, just say, her name is Dorcas. She was always doing good and helping the poor. At about that time, she became sick and died. And her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydia was near Joppa. So when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydia, they sent two men to him and urged him, please come at once. Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still alive. So she was at the dying, she was a believer. She was at the dying, they were at the laying her out in the upper room. They were at the washing her. All the widows were around. And they were crying. So Peter sent them, I just thought of this again. Peter sent them all out of the room. It reminds you a bit like Jesus. Anytime, a lot of the time, Jesus put people out of the room. Because they were looking at the situation as it was. There's death here, there's no hope. She's gone. It's impossible. Peter says, put it all out of the room. And sometimes, guys, there might be things that has come into our lives over time. Unbelief, doubt, fear, disappointment. We might see some people healed and some people not. And what happens then, it robs our faith. And sometimes we have to go, no, I'm putting it outside again. I'm stepping onto new ground again. I'm stepping onto faith. I'm stepping on believing God. So Peter sent them all out of the room. Then he got down on his knees and prayed. Turning towards the dead woman, he said to her, get up. She opened her eyes, seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called for all the believers, especially the widows, and presented her to them alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. See the way it was like any miracles that was happening, they were all turning to God. You know, they were turning to Jesus. And
I guarantee you, each one of us will tell a story of a miracle in our lives. Can I tell you now, even that you're sitting here today is a miracle. I remember, I'm being really honest here, I remember when I was thinking my own life, I couldn't get one day clean and sober. Couldn't get one day. I remember going home crying in my room. Hurting everyone around me. Caring about no one. But when Jesus came into my life, I was at a communion party yesterday with my sister. And I was only thinking of another sister of mine that's gone home to be with the Lord this morning. But I was the first to get touched in my family with the Lord. I seen my father, my stepfather, my mother, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, and on and on and on. The Lord has touched all of their lives. I'm telling you, God will ripple through your life. He'll ripple through your family. The Lord has transformed my family. He's bringing light where there was darkness. I'm telling you, it's amazing. So guys, I'll ask us all to stand. And guys, as I said, there's a scripture. Just close your eyes. Just between you and the Lord. There's a scripture in Romans, the letter to Romans, the Apostle Paul wrote it. And in that scripture, he said, he's talking about his nature. He has a sinful nature. And he gives this description of the nature. He says, I'm like a slave to this nature. He says, the things I want to do, I don't do. And the things that I don't want to do, I keep on doing them. He says, who will save me from this body of death? He says, I have a desire to do what is right, but I haven't got the power to carry it out. And he says, who will save me from this body? And then he said, but thanks be to God for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that we have all fallen short of the glory of God. That we've all sinned. We've all broken God's law. But the good news is that Jesus came, he died on a cross to take your sin and my sin. Not because I've done anything good, but because he's good. And the Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his only son Jesus, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but would have everlasting life. So I'm going to give you an opportunity now to give your life to Jesus. And we're going to pray together. Dear Lord Jesus, Lord, I ask you to forgive me of every sin. Come into my heart, Lord, and be my Lord, be my Savior. Now we're going to pray with the Holy Spirit. Boys, we're going to give the call out. If you want prayer, if you want to give to the Holy Spirit, or if you just want to be prayed for, stood with, encouraged, and blessed in God, I would ask you to come forward. We'll pray. And the others that will pray as well. So Father, I just pray over each one here, Lord. I ask you, Lord, to fill them up with your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray and I declare over this place healing over everybody. Father, I declare strength in the name of Jesus. I pray for a breakthrough, Lord. If anyone needs a breakthrough in their lives, Father, as your word says, Lord, that you are
are our strength. You are our hope. You are everything we need, oh God. And I just have something. I just felt
this as well for Bray. I'm just going to read this out, and we'll just pray in accordance to. Just give me a sec. Bray, so we're just praying accordance, and what we're doing here, we're just standing in the gap for the people of Bray. But in Isaiah 44, he says, "For I will pour water on the thirsty ground, or on the thirsty land, and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring, and my blessing on your descendants."